This morning, in Sunday school, we talked about the example of a believer and what a believer is like and the way that they should reflect Christ. We saw that over there in 1 Timothy, and this morning, in a bit of a similar fashion, I want to talk a bit about our Christian walk. If you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John, in 1 John chapter 2. There is a very distinct passage of Scripture that is given that talks about a Christian walk, the way that every believer should be behaving and walking in Jesus Christ. And in 1 John chapter 6, or excuse me, chapter 2, verse 6, says, "He that saith, he abide in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." When we think about the way that God desires us as Christians to walk this journey, to walk this path of life, one of the greatest things that we see here is the example that he has given in the way that he himself walked. There is no greater example than Jesus Christ. There is no greater way to look at how we should live our lives than to look to our Savior and say, that is the example, that is how I want to behave, how I want to think, how I want to speak. And if we call ourselves Christians, as it says, if we say that we abide in him, we as Christians are obligated to walk that same way. We're obligated to walk that same way. And walking the Christian path for so many different people means so many different things. One person will say, well, walking the path is like this. And others will say, well, no, the walking the path is this way. And there's so many opinions about the way that a Christian should walk and what the walk means. But you know what? The great thing about it is God always gives us a definition from his word. He always tells us the way that he expects us to behave. God has an expectation of us. He has an expectation of our walk. And as we see here, he says, look, the expectation that I have is that first and foremost, you walk as Christ. And we think about the verses where it says to live is Christ, to die is gain. And we begin to understand the importance behind that verse and that the life that we live, as Paul said, we live by the faith of who? The Son of God, Jesus Christ. That is the way that we behave. I want us to turn to our primary passage this morning, and that is in Colossians chapter 2. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to see some verses here, 8 verses, that very clearly identify some very, 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 very important things that we are supposed to walk in. In verse 1 it says, "For I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, be knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." He begins by talking to the church here at Colossae, saying very clearly that he has a desire to see them. He has a desire to fellowship with them. He has a desire to be around them and get together and enjoy their fellowship. But what he truly wants above all of that is that they would have this desire to be together themselves. As part of the walk that he's about ready to talk about here, he talks about the things that his desire for the church is. His first desire is that they would have comfort. Why? Because as we said, saw this morning over in 1 Timothy, there's a lot of labor and there's a lot of suffering involved. If you walk and trust in the living God, then you are going to suffer certain things. And the church at Colossae was no different. They suffered in persecution just the same as other churches did. Maybe not to the degree of the Thessalonians, but they suffered some persecution. But here he says, look, I want you guys to have comfort one another. We live in a dark society today. As I said this morning, it seems like society is solely focused upon that of the things of death. It's all they seem to care about is death. There's no deviation from it other than death, 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 death. People, you know, will say, well, we've got a gun violence problem. We don't have a gun violence problem. We've got a violence problem because people love death. That's the problem. We've forsaken Jesus Christ, and they that despise the things of wisdom, despise the things of God, what do? They love death. And we see here very clearly, he's saying, look, I want you guys to be comforted. He says, I want you to be comforted, and this is the conflict he has, because again, he desires to see them, but he really truly wants them to come together and comfort one another, be together, be knit together in love, as he says there. This is something that you think about, knitting things together, weaving it together, and very clearly, in a very specific manner, he desires them to be where they're supposed to love one another, that we see that commandment throughout all of Scripture. About loving one another. And this is his desire for the church. Knit together in love. I had a conversation with somebody the other day, and even mentioned it at the men's breakfast, mentioned it this morning. We live in a selfish society. We live in a society that all they care about is themselves. You're the number one priority. Because you're special. Everybody's special. Well, I'll tell you this. Everybody needs Jesus Christ. Why? Because we all have sin. We all have a sin problem, don't we? We all need Jesus Christ. We all need Him. And for us to be knit together in love, to show that compassion and care and desire for one another, this is His desire for the church. This is what he desires them to have in their life. And as it says there, being knit together in love in verse 2, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. What he wants them to be able to understand, he wants them to understand the foundations and the doctrinal principles that are contained in Jesus Christ and who he is. Look at what that does. When you begin to look at here, he's talking about the full assurance. You want to know why so many Christians struggle in their lives? Why they struggle with sin? Why they struggle with doubt? Why they struggle with unbelief? It's because they have no foundation in the doctrinal principles of the Word of God. Those things that are given in Scripture are given, as he says, for our learning, so that we can begin to understand who God is, how great our God is, what he has done for others, what he has done for us, what he will do for us. When we begin to understand how great these things are, it begins to deal with that assurance that we have, that trust that we can the assurance that we can trust Christ without fail. Without fail. He's looking for that understanding. Well, we know where we find understanding, right? The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. We see in Proverbs, he talks about the understanding. The things that are found in the Word of God. The things that are found there. This is the desire that he has for them. Essentially, you know what he wants them to do? He wants them to have compassion on one another. He wants them to have love towards one another. And he wants them to come together around the Word of God and build each other up. We see a little bit further as he goes on here. As he talks about in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They are hidden Jesus Christ. But in verse 4 he says this. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. And what he's very clearly, he's giving a caution here. A caution to every Christian. A caution to those believers at Colossae. He says, look, there are people out there that want to beguile you. That want you to walk away from the faith. That want to make sure you do not live for Jesus Christ. That you show no comfort, that you show no love, that you show no understanding of those treasures that are hidden here. He says here, beguiling. Beguiling. There are those that want to beguile us. There's, as we've talked about, doctrines of devils, doctrines of men. And it says right there, this I say, lest any should beguile you with enticing words. We see over there in Genesis chapter 3, the serpent was beguiling Eve in such a manner with those enticing words. And as it occurred in the garden then, it occurs today and it continues today where there's beguiling things that are trying to pull us away. This is the danger of false doctrine. This is the danger of false teachings. This is the danger that exists. And what many don't realize is those things that are often kind of just put aside and say, well, you know, we're not going to focus on those things. I want to focus on how a Christian should walk. You need to have that foundation to walk. You need to have that understanding of those things that are found in God, the things that are found in the Father, the things that are found in Christ, those mysteries that are hid there, that we should have a desire to get into those things. Look at what he says as he continues on in this. He says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. He looks at him and says, look, you guys have got something here. You guys have a great foundation. You guys are doing some right things. This isn't the same type of letters he had to write to the church at Corinth. Church at Corinth, he had to really get in there and deal with some sin. He had to really get in there and deal with some wrong thoughts that were happening in the church in Rome, the Romans. You go through Romans and you see there very clearly they had some issues. Corinth had some issues. Galatia had some issues. You move through Ephesians, and even the Ephesians had issues, and the Philippians had issues. The Colossians, the Thessalonians, they all had issues. Why? Because again, there's going to be some suffering. There's going to be some laboring involved if we're Christians. And here he's trying to get them to understand. Why? Because there's people coming in trying to get them away from Jesus Christ, trying to get them away from what they've been taught. And here he says he has joy. Even though he's not there, he has joy. And he looks at them and he says, number one, you got order. You got your priorities right. Good job, Colossians. You got your priorities right. He says, beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And you have got how to stand down. They had been attacked. They had been put through the trials, through the fires. And what did they do? They stood steadfast in the faith of Jesus Christ. They clung to that. They stuck with that as others were trying to pull them away. And it says here in verse 6, this is the important thing. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, here he is. It says, so walk ye in him. So understanding what we read over there with 1 John, where John is admonishing believers to, number one, make sure that they're walking according to the pattern that is set in Jesus Christ. Paul is doing the same here, saying, look, if you are in Jesus Christ and you have a foundation that's already in him, you got the priorities right, you've got the steadfastness down, I want you to remember some things as you walk. The title of this morning's message is How to Walk in Jesus Christ. How to walk in Jesus Christ. And while it may sound interesting to see these things that are being given, one of the things that as we walk in Jesus Christ, the first thing that we have to understand is that we are standing in Jesus Christ. Look at what he says right here as he continues on in verse 7. He says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. right there, he gives four things that are important principles for us as Christians to remember as we walk this path of life. And the first one that he begins to hit on is this. He talks about rooted. Rooted. What is our foundation? We live in the Northwest where we have lovely pine trees, the evergreen trees, that have a very shallow root system. They blow over very easily. Pine trees are supposed to be knit together, put together, growing together, side by side, to kind of keep all of them as wind buffers from those things. And they have shallow roots, but as soon as a wind comes along, what happens? They just blow over. They blow over. Go over to Ephesians. Go over to the book of Ephesians where we've seen prior. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, he says that henceforth we be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of what? Doctrine. Every wind of doctrine. Everything that just blows that direction. And this again is something that we as Christians need to understand. Now again, when I'm talking about doctrine, so many times people think of things that are heavy doctrines, things about differences between kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven, as I've said, things that are related to the tribulation period and what goes on there, the salvation that we see throughout scripture, the things of the law, the things of how Christ is revealed in every aspect of the law and every aspect of the temple and every aspect of the tabernacle, all those things, the patterns that we find throughout, things of numbers of Jesus, numbers found in scripture. That's doctrine. But one of the key things that we understand with doctrine is this. The doctrines that we understand, the doctrines that are needed, those doctrines are principal foundations of our faith. And without them, anything that comes along that is false will blow us over, destroy our Christian life. And here we are talking about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is coming up. Thanksgiving is this week. We're having our Thanksgiving Day potluck. The message for the afternoon is going to be talking about things of Thanksgiving very clearly, and it's mentioned here as well. But one of the things that I am extremely thankful for, one of the things that I am very, 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 very content with is that I can find truth in the Word of God. You can't even believe what's on the news anymore. Not that you could before. Not that you could hear about the kid that went over, the boy, he was a grade school boy, they're having a field trip over to CNN News, and he decided to wear a t-shirt. And it was a t-shirt that it was very similar in the logo type of CNN, but it was FNN. Fake News Network. Yeah, he had to go home and change. I'm like, let the kid wear it. Let the kid wear it. We can't believe anything anymore. I can believe Jesus Christ. I can believe His Word. I can believe the foundations that are there. And it says right there, it says that that's where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be rooted in Him, not being blown around by everything that comes my way. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about, again, rewards for what we do in Jesus Christ. And when we look at this, a lot of people think about, well, these are rewards of what, for what I do for Jesus Christ. These are the things that I do for Jesus Christ. So if I'm not really serving, then I'm not really going to be part of this judgment seat of Christ. No, this isn't rewards for service, folks. This is rewards for what you do with what you have been given. This is stuff that is very clearly identified as these are the rewards for your Christian walk. Look at what he says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. He says, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is what? Jesus Christ. Your foundation should be built upon nothing less than Him. Nothing less than Jesus Christ. That foundation that we have in Him, I showed you some of the statistics. I showed you that there are people that claim that they are trusting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but they believe Jesus Christ was a sinner just like you and me. What? How? No. No. And you know what that is? They don't know the Bible. They don't know the Bible. They don't know what the Bible says. They have no clue what the Bible says. They have no indication about the truth that is found in Him. If He was with sin, He could not die for my sins. And if that's the case, then I am lost and I am going to a devil's hell because I have no hope. But I do have hope in Jesus Christ because He was that perfect, pure, sinless sacrifice. We think about what He's done for us here, and Paul's saying, look, here's this foundation, church at Corinth, you gotta get your eyes opened up here. You gotta realize you're gonna be judged for the way you walk. Not just your service, but for the way you walk, and are you walking worthy? Are you walking pleasing unto God? Every Christian should desire to do that. Here over at Colossae, he says, this is how I want you to walk. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to be rooted in Jesus Christ. That means that all of your substance, everything that you need, comes from Him. Think about the root. You kill the root of a tree, what do? You kill the tree. Why? Because that's how the tree gets nutrients. That's how the tree feeds. And if you don't have a foundation in Jesus Christ, you're not feeding. You're not walking. Back over in Colossians chapter 2, he says, the first thing he says, rooted. Rooted in Him. The next thing we see is he says, rooted and built up in Him. So not only are we supposed to have that foundation, not only are we supposed to obviously receive all of our nutrients, everything that we need for our Christian life from Jesus Christ, the key thing that we look at as far as our Christian walk is that we have to continue to build. Once you trust Christ as your Savior, that's it. You don't have to do anything else, right? You're done. You don't have to work. You don't have to do anything. You're on easy street. Your sins are forgiven. You just cruise right along. No. No. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10? You're ordained unto what? Good works. He established before you trusted Christ as your Savior. He established before He even founded, put the foundations of this earth in place. That those that trust Christ as their Savior are going to do good works. That's what you're ordained to do. That's your commission. That's your task. When somebody ordains a pastor, they ordain them to be in a pastoral role. Not just a preaching role. Not just a teaching role. But in a counseling role, in a preaching role, in a teaching role, in a compassion role, in a friendship role. Those things. The same thing is true when we are ordained of Jesus Christ upon salvation. We are, by His shed blood, our sins are washed away. We have power now because of His resurrection. Over death and over sin, here we are, we have an eternal life, and He says, now I want you to really do something with your life. I want you to do some good. I actually want you to do something for me. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, I'm sure you're familiar with the story. If not, John Newton was a slave trader. He was a cruel man. And if there's anybody that can understand the grace of God, it's John Newton. And when he penned Amazing Grace and said, saved a wretch like me, you know who he was talking about? He was talking about himself. He had sold people's lives. He had sold souls. He had separated families. He had been an abuser. And he realized he didn't deserve that grace that God gave him. He didn't deserve that salvation God gave him. But he said this, when I was unsaved, unregenerate, I served a master. But when I was saved, I was freed from the bondage of that master to serve another. And to serve in liberty and to serve in freedom, not in bondage. And very clearly, he makes it very well known that he was so undeserving of that grace. And he said, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ. How do we build up afterwards? You go back over there to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we see more about that, where obviously he mentions in verse 10, he says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. One thing that is so critical in this life, in this Christian walk, is you need to make sure you take heed about how you are going to build on that foundation of Jesus Christ. What are you going to build? Now, obviously, he's talking about wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. Those things, we're not going to focus on that this morning. But I want us to understand that we as a Christian, as our Christian walk, should be concerned with what we are building with and how it is being built. What are we doing for him? How am I walking in my Christian life? How am I an example of the believers, as we saw this morning in Sunday school? What in me is showing the glory of Jesus Christ? Do I show it in my word? Do I show it in my thoughts? Do I show it in my deeds? Am I revealing Christ in me? How do I build it? You look at a foundation and you know, you drive around and you see construction and there's construction all over Ridgefield. Just turn down a few roads and immediately you are met with construction. And what do you see? You see a bunch of fields that are being turned into suburbs and they're leveling the grounds and they're digging holes and they're putting in there the concrete and they pour in and then there it is. There's just that foundation that is there. What happens if nobody ever builds on that? There's nothing. There's nothing. But then the builder comes along and what does he begin to do? Put some wood together. He begins to frame. They begin to put walls up. They begin to put electrical and plumbing in and insulation and sheetrock and windows and doors and roofs and mechanical things, kitchen equipment, cabinets, all sorts of stuff. And it begins to be built. It begins to be built. And then there's an abode. Then there's some place for somebody to live. And we as the temple of the Holy Ghost, as he says in chapter 6 of the very same book, we have to ask ourselves, what is it that we are showing on the outside? What is it that we are showing to individuals that we as Christians are trusting Christ? Now, I'm not talking about just a show of good works to make us look good. I'm talking about truly revealing that somebody looks at us and says, hey, you know what? That person has something that is different than everybody else in this world. That person has something. What is it? He says over there that we're supposed to be built up. You take a look a little bit further down here in verse 12. It says, now if any man build thereupon this foundation, and he mentions those things, He mentions those things and he says, look, this is the principle of what we're supposed to do. You realize we are not in a Christian walk if we are not building upon what Christ has given us. If we're not building upon our salvation, if we're not building and wanting to know more about Him and building ourselves and going through this process of renovating sometimes and changing some things around and making sure that it meets God's building code and God's standards, this is the way that our Christian walk is supposed to be. This is how we're supposed to live. He says very clearly we're supposed to be building. Go back over there to Colossians chapter 3. This is how we walk in Jesus Christ. The first two is we see that we are to be rooted and built up in Him. Rooted and built up in Him. Meaning we have a foundation in Jesus Christ and we are built by the things of Jesus Christ. And we see here as he moves further, he says in verse 7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Established in the faith. When something is established, that means it is settled with permanence. That means there is a permanence about it. There is something that is permanent in a person's life. Now think about this for a second. You go over there and it talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it talks about how some are going to fall away from the faith. They're going to abandon the faith. They are going to leave the faith. But he says this to the church at Colossae. He says, this is what you need to do. Number one, be rooted in Him. Number two, be built up in Him. And number three, you need to make sure that you have a permanency in your faith. I dare say today that in Christianity, faith is fickle. We got tremendous faith when things are good, right? I love Spurgeon's saying about faith. He says, faith. He said, it's easy to trust when you're walking in the light. But when you walk in darkness and you have trust in God, that's faith. The trials of our lives build up that faith. The trials that we go through, the troubles that we are, the sufferings that we have in this life, those are the things that build up our faith. Those are the things that draw us nearer to God, nearer to Christ, nearer to Him, that we would have a desire to continue in the faithfulness that He has established. And if there's one thing I know about God, is God is faithful. He has never failed me. But I have failed Him. And He says this, establish your faith. Set a permanency about it. Don't let faith come and go based upon your situation, your environment. Americans have fickle faith. You know, it kind of scares me right now that our economy is doing pretty good. Because you know what that means? A lot of people are going to start trusting and putting their faith in what? Riches. Guess what's going to happen again? Same thing that we always have. The economy does what? Anybody knows anything about economics? Guess what? Economy has peaks and then it has what? Valleys. Sometimes it's more like jumping off cliffs. It comes and it goes. It ebbs and it flows, right? That's an economy. Economies do those things. Everybody obviously wants an economy that's strong, steady growth, and we love to have things of that nature, but oh man. If anything has taught us in this world is that economies fall. He He says, establish your faith. Part of that Christian walk is where we have a permanency in the faith that Jesus Christ has given to us. Think about this for a second. Think about how important faith becomes in your Christian walk, in your Christian life. If you don't have faith, what are you in? Whatsoever is done, or whatsoever is without faith is what? Sin. Faith is what keeps us out of that sin. When our faith fails, we go right back to the works of the flesh. And God says, establish that faith. Set it in a permanent mode. Don't let it flop about. Don't have faith one day and no faith the next. But establish that faith. Turn over to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 and in verse 25. And look at what he says here. He says, now to him that is of power to establish you, talking about Christ, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. You know what? Very clearly, he says, I want you to have an understanding of how to establish your life, how to have that power that is there. And it says that none of him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. To have a permanency, to be set into that, to be set into the gospel of Jesus Christ as our primary foundation, as the foundation of our faith. Go over to, again, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2 and verse 17, what does he say? We've talked about this before. He says, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Every single thing that we should have an establishment of that in our lives. Good word and good works. Not just doing what is right, but also saying what is right. Sometimes we can do the right thing and say the totally wrong thing. Now, just quick show of hands. How many of us have a problem with our mouth? You chuckle because you realize that if you don't hold up your hand, you're like, oh, so we're the perfect man that's found in James. Yes. Please do tell how you got there. How did you bring that critter under submission? Well, you can. You can. Part of the problem is we're not always established, are we? Here he's making sure that this is what we're supposed to do. Have that permanency that's there. And look at verse 3 of chapter 3 of the same book, 2 Thessalonians. He says, but the Lord is faithful. Praise God for that. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Here's the problem with faith. If you're having issues with faith in your life, it's because you don't trust Christ. That's it. No, I trust him. No, you don't. You're not established in him. Did you see what that verse is there that says? Look at that. He says, but the Lord is faithful. I trust in his faithfulness, who shall establish you. He's going to set me in that permanency and keep me from evil. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trust him. What does that relate to? Faith. By faith, Abraham believed what? God's word. The main reason that we have issues with trust is because we don't know his word. That's what it is. And God just says, look, It's easy. No, it's hard. No, the way of a transgressor is hard. Didn't Jesus Christ say, my yoke is what? Easy and my burden is light. Yeah, it's going to take some work. Yeah, you're going to suffer through some things. But I'll tell you this, very clearly, we need to trust Him. And it's a lot easier to trust Christ than to trust myself. It's a lot easier to trust somebody that's faithful than to trust somebody that's not. We don't trust politicians, just as a general rule. One exception made over here. But, you know, a lot of people don't trust politicians because they give a lot of lip service. My God doesn't give lip service. My God says what He means and follows through. I can trust that. I can trust His word. The final thing that we see here is this. Back in Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 7, it says, rooted in and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught. And then it says this, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You know, one of the key important things about walking this Christian life is this. Contentment. You realize that discontentment is the general reason that false doctrine slips into a person's life? This is what He's warning them against, by the way. He's saying, look, you know, there's people out there that want to beguile you. There's people out there that want to take you out of the ministry. There's people that want to take you away from Jesus Christ. There's people that want to take you out of the Word of God. There is a devil out there that desires to sift you and destroy you and devour you. And he will take any and every opportunity. You know what one of the biggest opportunities he will take? Is when we are not thankful and we are not content. Because then we desire to heap it upon our own lusts and our own desires and our own flesh. And the end result is this. We're carried away by that wind of doctrine. You know what discontentment is and what unthankfulness is? It is outside of the circle of the will of God. Well, how do we know that? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. What does it say? In everything, give thanks, right? And it says, for this is the what? Will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who? You. Concerning you. That's His desire. You know, we struggle with discontentment. Oh man, we struggle with it. We're not content. We never have enough time. We never have enough money. We never have the right things. We never have this. We never have that. If we just did this, then maybe we would have these things. And we're always struggling to try to do that. But you know what? God's version of success is way different than our version. Way different than our version. How about we just focus on being thankful for what we have? He says this is the will of God. You know, these things right here, a good Christian walk is critical in the defense of false doctrine. And I know I may start sounding like a broken record here where I was saying for a long time we need to change the way we think. Well, yes, we need to change the way we think as a Christian. We definitely do. Romans chapter 12 covers that. And it's typically because of a heart problem. But a lot of times the things that we think about and the things that are put in our lives are there because of false doctrine. We got to change it. And if there's one thing that I know from the Word of God is that as a pastor of a church, the primary thing I need to make sure that I'm doing, one of the primary things is I need to make sure false doctrine doesn't creep in. I got to make sure that that wolf doesn't get in the door. You are responsible for your own life to make sure it doesn't get in yours. I can't stand watch over your home. That's your job. Puts a whole different role on the whole keeper of the home thing, doesn't it, ladies? If you're a keeper of the home and you're guarding that door, you better make sure you know what the Word of God says. Because the Word of God is what's going to keep you from falling. That's one of your responsibilities, ladies. Men, you're not free from that either. You can't just throw that upon your wife or the mother of the household and go, oh, that's all you. No, you better know it too. Why? Because it's your responsibility to teach it to your family. Walking in Christ. Rooted in Him. Built in Him. Established in the faith. And abounding with thanksgiving. Abounding. That means a great, plentiful amount. You know what your family should hear coming out of your mouth? You know what your friends should hear coming out of your mouth? What your coworkers should hear coming out of your mouth? How thankful you are for everything you have. Instead of complaining. And I will tell you, I am a complainer. I can complain just as well as anyone else here. Probably better. Because I've heard a lot of complaining. I'll tell you, I can complain. I can complain about the whole things that are going on. I can complain about this society. I can complain about the country. I can complain about politics. I can complain about my car. I can complain about, the fact that there's, it's dark and dreary outside. I can complain about the weather. I can complain about mosquitoes. I can complain. But when do I ever say I'm thankful for Jesus Christ? When do I tell my friends and my family I'm thankful for what Christ did for me? I'm thankful for the God that loved me, that gave Himself for me. I'm thankful for the Word that He gave me. I'm thankful I can go to Him in prayer. I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful that I can come together and, in a few minutes have food, which you guys are smelling and you're probably wanting right now and thinking, when is this windbag going to end? But I'll tell you this very clearly. You know what? I'm thankful for those things. You know what it needs to be? It needs to be coming out of my mouth. If I'm thankful in my heart, then it should be coming out of my mouth. Because my walk isn't just with my feet. My walk is with my feet. My walk is with my hands with what I do. My walk is with what I say. My walk is with my mind and my heart with what I think. Walk in Jesus Christ. And the final verse is right there in verse 8. He says this. He says, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You know what? Traditions change, don't they? Traditions come and go. Some people do holiday traditions and then they stop them. Some people pick up new holiday traditions. Traditions come and go. Vain deceit, something that's vain, has no foundation. And then you take a look right there where he says the rudiments of the world. You know what? You ever wonder what that word rudiments means? And everyone thinks about, well, it's talking about first principles. It's talking about principles. Yeah, but did you know that it has another connotation to it in the field of botany? It is the rudiment, aka the seed, by which the plant has life. You got to be careful of the seeds that the world plants in you. And he says, this is why we walk. This is why we walk worthy of pleasing of Him. Let's walk in Jesus Christ today. Let's show people we're thankful. Let's show people we have a foundation in Jesus Christ. We're building a building with Him. Yeah, we still may be under construction, but we're still building with Him. And that we are established in the faith. Let's stand for a word of prayer.